J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over. I'm
lot of female blues singers in the late 1960s.
We were living in a man's world for sure back then. But I just loved it. Yeah. I loved the blues, and that was the thing that drove us on. Fleetwood Mac were my idol when I was in Chicken Shack.
The next year, after marrying Fleetwood Mac bassist John McVie, she joined the band and would write some of its biggest hits, including Don't Stop and You Make Loving Fun. But in 1998, tired of the travel and the feuding, McVie quit and moved to the English countryside, where she'd stay for 16 years until Mick Fleetwood coaxed her back.
He said, why don't you just come on and do Don't Stop with us? So that's in the end what I did. And looking around at these other four individuals, it was just a mind-blowing experience.
Did you know right away you wanted to come back after that?
Absolutely.
And she did. She was with the band on its last tour in 2019. In a note on social media, the band said she was the best musician anyone could have in their band and the best friend anyone could have in their life. It's Stevie Nicks said in the note that she put on social media that she only learned that she was ill this past weekend.
How sudden it was.
Yeah, and I'm told the band did not expect this, and obviously... It just devastated. Yeah. That's Lindsey Buckingham, who we saw in the interview with her, of course, is formerly from Fleetwood Mac.
Fans shocked as well. I mean, what a legacy.
An extraordinary blues singer, which is, as I said in the conversation with her, there weren't a lot of blues singers in England in the late 60s, early 70s. She's a phenomenal singer. And what's interesting is because she's kind of understated, she didn't get as much attention as, say, Stevie Nicks did.
Right.
But she was such an important part of that band and a phenomenal songwriter as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear the music, though, and it brings back memories about what was going on in your life at that time.
There was a lot going on in that band, too.
What was going on in your life at that time?
Yeah.
Thursday, December 1st, 2022, 76 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com. Gut punch. Gut punch. That's how I would describe that yesterday. The only comfort in this comes from all of our friends all over social media who seem to have the same reaction that I had yesterday, and that is that this news was just awful. Just awful. 79, pretty good run. Still not long enough. Took everybody, including her closest friends in the band, by complete surprise, as you heard. But I want to say something else about Christine McVie, because you just heard Warm Ways there, a little clip of Warm Ways, which just happens to be my favorite performance by Christine McVie. Gosh, I like that song. And, you know, they sort of glossed over this pretty quickly, but we may never have had the supergroup known as Fleetwood Mac had it not been for Christine McVie, and here's why. Especially back then. If you had a band and you had a girl in the band, that was it. That was your girl. And most women in Christine McVie's position in Fleetwood Mac back in 1975, 76, right in there, when Mick Fleetwood had gone to Lindsey Buckingham and said, look, we need your songwriting, your voice, and your guitar. We really need you. Can you join the band? And Lindsey Buckingham said, sure, but you got to take my girlfriend too, who was Stevie Nicks. And Mick was sort of like, we'll see. And then he had to approach Christine McVie. And back in those days, if you were somebody in Christine McVie's situation, generally the woman would probably have said, oh, you want to add another girl to the band? Great. Fuck you. I quit. But instead, Christine McVie said, yeah, sure. Why not? And in fact, as you heard, Stevie Nicks and Christine McVie became very, very close friends, both on stage and off stage, and all of it, because Christine McVie said, sure, why not? Speaking of Lindsey Buckingham, this was about, I want to say, 8 years ago, and Fleetwood Mac was just getting ready to go out on tour again after a pretty long layoff.
And it is interesting to watch the way the various individual members of Fleetwood Mac have handled this aftermath period of your career. So just somebody bring me up to date on that.
Well, you know, Christine in like 1998, I think she just felt that she needed a radical, dramatic life change, and she burned all her bridges in Los Angeles, sold her house, ended her relationship that she had, quit the band. You know, I think touring was like a big thing. She'd done the tour in 97, and I think she just had it with touring. So she pretty much cut every tie she had with Los Angeles, where she'd been for quite a while, and moved back to England and just really simplified her life.
The epitaph on this band, I mean, they're going to be teaching about Fleetwood Mac in music classes 50 years from now when we're both pushing up daisies. And this story of Fleetwood Mac, I think, surpasses music history in a lot of ways. This is a case of it being American history. Just make that into a question and answer it, Lindsay.
Yes, American history in the sense that these two Americans joined the band and it became a completely different thing. It became something that was California-based, the individual resolve that we all had, that some of which came from the fact that we were disintegrated couples and yet were a group that was still working together and was following our destiny.
I'll tell you one thing. This is a movie waiting to be made. I didn't think Bohemian Rhapsody was that great a movie. I thought they could have done a much better job on it. But this story of Fleetwood Mac, somebody right now in Hollywood, you know, is tweaking this script right now and getting ready to try to put something into production. The Fleetwood Mac story. Anyhow, like I said, a punch to the gut is the best way I can describe it, and we'll come back and talk more about Christine McVie a little bit later on here in today's podcast. I first saw Fleetwood Mac in 1973 on the campus of Northern Illinois University. I think the Mystery to Me album had just come out, and Hypnotized was something that everybody liked and everybody showed up wanting to hear, and they performed it, but it would be years until I would sit down face-to-face with Christine McVie in Los Angeles in 1990 and do a little interview with her live on the air. And if there's anything good that has come out of this, it's that I was getting really irritated with what was left of Fleetwood Mac and the idea that maybe somehow they were still going to try to put something together and go out on the road. And it's like, look, you can't have Fleetwood Mac without Christine McVie. And she said that, you know, she had a series of apparently real bad back problems. She said she couldn't even play the piano anymore unless she was standing up. So she wasn't going to go out on tour. Lizzie Buckingham, not even in the band anymore. And Mick had done a very, very good job over the long history, going all the way back to the late 60s when they were a blues band. He'd done a very good job of, you know, having different reincarnations of the band go out and still hold it together and still have a Fleetwood Mac. But this is it now. This puts an end to the Fleetwood Mac story, at least better. Like I said, we'll come back and talk more about this as we wrap up today's podcast a little bit later on. Well, first day of December, and there's lots of things to look forward to in sports. A lot of NFL action this month. College football's bowl games start on December 16th. The World Cup runs through the 18th. USA plays the Netherlands in the round of 16 coming up on Saturday morning. In movies, action comedy Christmas flick Violent Night opens tomorrow. Emancipation with Will Smith hits Apple TV on the 9th. The Whale with Brendan Fraser. That's the one that they just say, like, you know, 10-minute standing ovations in places like Telluride and all those film festivals that they have up in the mountains. They say it's just remarkable. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio hits Netflix also on the 9th. The long-awaited sequel Avatar, The Way of Water hits theaters December 16th. It's 3 hours and 12 minutes long, by the way. On TV, lots of holiday specials. Also, the People's Choice Awards next Tuesday. Too Hot to Handle on Netflix next Wednesday. The new Harrison Ford Yellowstone prequel series, 1923, hits Paramount Plus on the 18th. Then, of course, the holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's Eve. And then we say bye-bye to 2022. All right, clip time. Let's start with Jimmy Kimmel.
They got the holiday started in our nation's capital tonight. The president and first lady took part in the 100th lighting of the national Christmas tree tonight. Thousands of Americans gathered outside the White House to watch an old man flip a light switch. That's the tree. It's 27 feet tall. They did not chop it down. It is a live white fir tree. It was planted last October after the previous national Christmas tree was removed in May of 2021 because it had a fungal disease. The second time that year that a fungus had to be removed from the White House. It's, the ceremony, as you saw.
Pretty good. Pretty good. All right, Stephen Colbert, what you got on Herschel Walker?
Yet another new record for Herschel Walker's resume, along with his college rushing yards record, Planned Parenthood rewards points, and record number of nickels accidentally swallowed. When you tackle him, he jingles. Both candidates are out campaigning up a storm right now, but Walker's speeches are especially notable because they are insane. Here he is on Monday making the case for a border wall.
I'm securing this border. They said, how are you going to do that? I said, well, I can do it then. You need to put up a wall to work. Wall working around your house. When you got a wall around your house, people don't do it. They can get in, but you know what? They get in, it'll be hard to get out because I got a dog that, well, my dog really won't bite.
There. They're going to have to update that chant. Build the wall, add a dog. One that bites? Maybe not.
And finally, Trevor Noah.
Biden's Secret Service detail had a bit of a scare recently when five cars they had rented suddenly burst into flames. Presidential news. Joe Biden's Secret Service detail had a bit of a scare recently when five cars they had rented suddenly burst into flames after they were returned to Hertz Rent-A-Car. Yeah, now the good news is Biden has got full coverage insurance. The bad news is Senate Republicans blocked it, so he's going to need to borrow some money from Kamala now. But my question is, why is the Secret Service even renting cars from Hertz? Am I the only person who was thrown by that? Like, what happens if the SUV they want isn't there? What, now the president is rocking up to a state dinner in a Hyundai? Is that how it's going to work? And while we're talking about things exploding, experts say the United States is now facing a shortage of bomb-sniffing dogs. Yeah, which probably explains how Morbius made it into theaters. And it makes sense, you know, when you think about it. You know? Of course, this was always going to happen. If you had the choice of being a bomb-sniffing dog or a drug-sniffing dog, what would you choose? Huh? What would you choose? So simple. Yeah, option A, you might explode. Option B, free cocaine. I mean.
All right, he's got a point. He's got a point there. All right, got Thursday Night Football. What a game tonight. Oh, man, I am so there. It's on Amazon, but you'll see New England hosting the Buffalo Bills. That's a hell of a ball game. Right there. Also, Dolly Parton's Mountain Magic Christmas on NBC tonight at 7 o'clock. Late night, Jimmy Fallon's got Adam Sandler, Don Cheadle, and Chris Isaac with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got John Krasinski and David Harbour and Sarah Hyland pop up with James Corden. Danny Masterson's rape trial declared a mistrial. The sexual assault lawsuit against Horatio Sands of Saturday Night Live has been dropped. Both parties have resolved their dispute. Bill Clinton has tested positive for COVID. Dr. Oz trying to revive his TV career and nobody's taking his calls. Doja Cat. Now, if you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, whatever, and you're in the car with them and you are required to play their music, not yours, you're going to get some Doja Cat. And there's a couple of Doja Cat songs that I really, really like. A couple of the songs have rap right in the middle of them, and I just ignore that part or try to fast forward it or change stations for 30 seconds and then come back. But she's very talented. So she has a big birthday. This is maybe a month or two ago. She has a big birthday. I think she's turning 30, and she's out with a bunch of her friends, female friends, and somehow her top just comes off. And somehow she just turns to the camera and lets people take pictures of her naked boobs. And I remember thinking to myself, and I didn't say anything about it, but I remember thinking to myself, that's a real disappointment. She has the boobs of a 55-year-old woman who just, like, had 10 kids. And I only mention that because apparently when she woke up from her drunken stupor on her 30th birthday and saw the pictures, she said, whoa, what's going on there? So she's getting a boob job. We have now covered all of the entertainment news there is. Oh, and an Iranian man was shot and killed by state security forces for celebrating his country's World Cup loss the other day. The Iranians have no sense of humor whatsoever. All right, birthdays today. Zoe Kravitz, Catwoman from the Batman movie, 34. Sarah Silverman, 52. Charlene Tilton, oh my God. Lucy Ewing from Dallas, 64. Gilbert O'Sullivan, Alone Again, Natural Lee, 76. Bette Midler, 77. John Densmore of The Doors, 78. Eric Bloom, who is Blue Oyster Cult's lead singer, 78. Lee Trevino played himself in Happy Gilmore, 83. Rosa Parks sat there on the bus and said, go ahead, move me. Montgomery, Alabama, 1955. Set off the civil rights movement. And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, released on this date back in 1989. My favorite meme of the week was a handwritten billboard out in front of a restaurant, and it says the following. A man asked his wife, what would you do if I won the lottery? She replied, I'd take half and leave you. He said, great. I won $12. Here's six. Stay in touch. All right. The other day, I posted the fact that a little birdie has told me that Jeff Lynne of the Electric Light Orchestra is going out on tour next year, and St. Louis has been established as one of the stops on the tour. And people have been writing very funny comments underneath that post, including how they're going to come up with the money to make sure that they get tickets, good tickets, for the show. From Jen, it says, I will sell a kid for this. I only have one and she's 21, but someone's kid. All right. Did you know that at the age of 15, and if you see this picture, you're very, very difficult to understand how this person could be 15. She looks like a 28-year-old supermodel. Pretty, long hair, big boobs, great legs, the works. Your basic nightmare. Her name, Deborah Jane Seaver. At the age of 15, she became one of the team's first ball girls. You know, they put them down the left field line, down the right field line, and you catch foul balls. While working for the A's, she saved some money and eventually founded a company. Keep in mind, she was 15. Deborah Jane Seaver is also known as Mrs. Fields. At 15, I had a paper route. And this thing I put up over the weekend, I don't know, the responses have really surprised me on a lot of different levels. I've been watching these CNN things they put on the weekend, these retrospectives. They're like hour-long documentaries. And they'll just say, you know, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. And then you'll come back a month later and they'll talk about, you know, movies of the 80s, TV shows from the 90s, that sort of stuff. So they pick out a theme and then they spend an hour on it and they have everything. And these things are great, almost acid flashbacks. You're sitting there like, wow, I forgot all about that. But what it's done is it's shaken me up a little bit and brings back not always great and fond memories. Now, when I fuck something up, when I blow something, I tell you about it. Well, the reason why is because it doesn't happen that often. I'm really, really careful about what I post. I mean, there were a lot of people yesterday who just assumed that the Christine McVie story was phony, and so they didn't post it. But I have places that I can go. If there's a story and I need it confirmed, I know where I can go and get it confirmed by two or three different sources. And sure enough, of course, as we know, it turned out to be true, unfortunately. But when I blow something, I talk about it. And there were lots of things. There were lots of things. Like in the 90s. Like I remember blowing off Drew Carey. Drew Carey came into it. We were at the River at the time. And Drew Carey came in. And this was on the heels of some very highly publicized mess-ups with strippers and lowlifes. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's career is over. And Drew Carey only went on a couple of years later to the Drew Carey Show, which was one of the most popular shows on TV. And I'm sitting in thinking to myself, well, I blew that. You already know that Sheryl Crow used to come into our studios at the River all the time and perform live in the studio with the gal who was doing the midday show. And our paths would briefly cross, and we thought that she didn't like us because she wasn't very friendly. And it wasn't until years later that I found out that she was just really, really scared. And so what we interpreted as standoffishness just was, she was just scared. She was intimidated by us, which is hard to think. And then by fall of that year, she had the biggest hit in the country with All I Want to Do. And one of the things they showed on this retrospective of the 90s was Kelsey Grammer on his TV show, Frasier. Now, he was one of the guys who came in along with Alan Thicke, and I think Michael J. Fox was in. A couple of other people, they brought in, they had like celebrities playing hockey as part of the 1988 NHL All-Star Game and festivities that took place in St. Louis. And we were broadcasting from the penalty box and all that sort of stuff. And later that night, they had a big banquet, and I crashed that thing. And I didn't even bother taking out my tape recorder to talk to Kelsey Grammer. I was sitting practically next to him for half the night, and I was just like, this guy, you talk about a star falling, coming off Cheers. He's got depression, alcohol, drugs, couple of divorces. You know, he just seemed to be a shell of himself. And I'm just looking at him going, man, are you done? You are so over. And of course, a couple of years later, he's got the biggest show in television with Frasier. You know, and the thing about it is, and I posted this, I said, you know, people who have never accomplished anything of consequence in their lives like to throw rocks at those of us who take chances. And on occasion, you fuck up, you fail. But we know better. We know better because we know that we learn far more from our mistakes than we learn from our successes. And I'm not saying that just to be coy. I'm saying because it's true. I'm telling you, I believe it 100%. What I didn't believe is that anybody would acknowledge, I guess you would say, that what I had posted there was something that connected with the audience. So I think I just want to say thanks there.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Fleetwood Mac's Christine McVie on Women in Rock.
What's the state of affairs?
Well, you know, I can only speak for myself. As far as I'm concerned, I'm very lucky. I'm with a group of gentlemen. 99% of the time. And they're great, and they treat me with respect, and I return that respect. And it's, you know, I know that some other women find it tough, and it can be hard work.
Never before.